In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Usable news and information for your job. And now, here's Francis Rose.
Welcome to hour number two of the program for Friday, September 17th, 2010 on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. And as we do every Friday at 2, it's time for this week's Federal News Countdown, where two experts in the federal community choose the news stories they think are most important to the federal government, rank them in order from number 3 to number 1, and we count them down live on the radio. And my guests this week are Kim Peretti, director in PricewaterhouseCoopers' Forensic Technology Solutions Practice. She's former senior counselor at the Justice Department Criminal Division's Computer Crime and Intellectual Property Section. And Kim, it's great to meet you and have you on the program. Thank you for being here today.
Thank you very much. Happy to be here.
You've chosen some great stories, and I'm looking forward to counting them down. And I am also looking forward to counting down the stories of Tom Shoup of Government Executive. Welcome. You are a regular on the Dorbeck Insider. It's great to have you on the countdown today.
Thank you, Francis. It's great to be here.
When is your deal with Dorbeck on the Insider?
It's Tuesdays at 4:40.
Okay. And you can hear Tom, of course, every week at that time and find the archives on federalnewsradio.com. And I did notice something interesting about your stories. They all seem to come from the same source. I wonder why that is. They all seem to... Oh, they're all from GovExec. Interesting.
Yeah, I decided to go with the most highly trusted news source I could find.
So. Besides Federal News Radio, of course. It's a friendly rivalry. I do appreciate you being here. There's a lot of time and effort that goes into choosing these stories and thinking about what we're going to talk about, and I appreciate both of you taking the time to do it. We will get down to business on the countdown with...
Number 3!
The third most important federal news story of the week, as chosen by Kim Peretti, is from Federal Computer Week, and the headline is, Can We Fight Cybercrime Like the Untouchables Fought Capone? It's a Bill Jackson story, and Bill always takes an interesting approach to these kinds of things. What was it about this that jumped out at you, Kim?
Well, I chose this story for its content in highlighting a private sector initiative to go after botnets, and botnets are these... zombies, you know, hundreds of thousands of zombie computers linked together that are used, they're really the backbone of criminal activity on the internet. Some of the recent statistics are about spam in our email box can be up to 90%. And this article is about a particular initiative with going after a botnet and using the civil legal process to do that and ultimately shutting it down. And I thought that was an extremely important to see those type of initiatives because we need that to fight cybercrime.
The bill writes, it's worthwhile to remember that the federal team called the Untouchables brought down Al Capone not with Tommy guns but with federal tax law. Laws. And that kind of crystallizes what he's talking about here is taking unique approaches, creative approaches to trying to deal with people like this because they, by their own nature, are creative, trying to stay one step ahead of you and your former colleagues at DOJ.
And I think you'll see that in all the articles I highlight today mm-hmm. is the creativeness and the difficulty of keeping on top as they're changing their attacks so rapidly. And while it might not work to increase tax laws to fight these particular opponents, since most of them are outside the United States, mm-hmm. we really do need a combination of public and private sector initiatives, and this is just a fantastic one in really going after the backbone of criminal activity on the internet.
It's interesting because I think a lot, almost all of the cybersecurity discussions that we have on this station and are in government in general are focused on the technology piece of it and not on the law enforcement piece of it. So it's interesting to see this kind of thought process behind it. Should we be thinking more? I guess you're biased, but should we be thinking more about cybersecurity from the law enforcement perspective?
I think we do, and I think we continue to need to do that. And I think law enforcement has made tremendous strides in this area. When I first started at the department in 2002, we were really starting then to focus on our international law enforcement contacts and establishments. And years later, we're seeing the benefits of that with international indictments in this area. So the law enforcement attack is always important, but there's limitations on it. And I saw, you know, there's certain areas it's very difficult to bring down botnets in the botnet community at the department. It's hard to identify the individuals behind it, and usually mm-hmm. they're outside the United States. So if we can have a combination of private sector initiatives to assist, we all need to do the work on this together.
Kim Peretti, story number three on the Federal News Countdown is from FCW. The headline, Can We Fight Cybercrime Like the Untouchables Fought Capone? Tom Shoup, your story number three from GovExec is headline, President Reminds Senior Executives Performance is King. It's a Bob Brodsky story. And what's the gist of this one? Why is this important?
I would have put this maybe two or one if there were specific really new initiatives in here, which there really aren't. This is, but it's not insignificant. It is more of a get with the program kind of memo. That's where I think it's very interesting, where the president is directly reaching out to members of the senior executive service and saying, these are the things that we're going to focus on in our accountable government initiative, and we need you to get behind it. And to get with the program. And on top of that, there's a not-so-subtle hint that they will be using the performance.gov website to monitor agencies' performance in this and presumably to hold them accountable for achieving these kind of results. And that's it's a very unusual thing for a president to do, to reach out directly to the SES. So I think there is something there to say, this is, you know, we are very serious about this, and we want to make sure that you guys take this seriously, too.
The piece says the Obama administration will use a new website, as you mentioned, to track the progress and performance of federal agencies in six key areas. The fear that I've heard is that this will turn into another dashboard. There are now, seems like, 718 different dashboards.
They do love their dashboards.
They love the dashboards. And one of the concerns is, will there be so many dashboards and so many places for accountability to be posted online that eventually people will spend so much time going in circles trying to comply with what needs to be done to make the dashboards look good?
Yeah, I think there's a danger of that. I'm not sure it's any greater a danger than it's been forever. I mean, it's the virtual version of the kind of paperwork that's been required for a lot of years. So I think overall the burden may be more or less the same. I think there is a danger that it becomes sort of a reporting exercise that agencies work to do whatever they need to do to meet these immediate requirements.
And then the key becomes, are the requirements what the agencies really need to do to meet mission, or do we have just a whole bunch of box checking like you have, say, in cybersecurity with FISMA or something like that?
I'll say this. In OMB's defense, they have been very serious and disciplined about this effort of identifying the areas that they want to prioritize and sticking to them. You know, it's more than a year ago that they've been at this. So I think they do have a relatively disciplined approach.
Tom Shoup's story number three on the Federal News Countdown is headline, President Reminds Senior Executives Performance is King. It's from GovExec, and you can find it later this afternoon linked up at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth. Story number two from Tom Shoup and Kim Peretti when In-Depth with Francis Rose continues on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Okay, people, let's settle in. We've got a lot of slides to get through on our server utilization strategy. Okay, now this is an interesting
slide. Well, you've been here before. Somewhere in your agency, someone came up with a plan for data center efficiency.
Well, if you look here at the third bullet point, this is...
Actually, what they came up with is a presentation deck. You know, with underlined sections, bullet points, few animations, and sound effects. What's missing, of course, is how the job will actually get done. Because when the federal CIO says data center efficiency is a top priority, you need more than a slideshow. You need results. That's where Dell Services comes in. We've got over 30 years of experience delivering comprehensive best-in-breed solutions. Whether that's virtualization, cloud computing, or business continuity, we're ready to listen, and we're ready to help you deliver. To learn more, go to Dell.com/deliver now.
And now Ask the CIO, brought to you by Vion Corporation.
The Commerce Department is feeling the pressures of having a tighter budget. The agency is looking at a few ways to spend money on technology more efficiently. Simone Zickman is the Commerce Department's CIO.
And here we're looking at things like data center consolidation, infrastructure consolidation, strategic sourcing and doing smarter procurement across the department, really things to just improve the effectiveness with which we spend funds for IT in the department. equipment.
CIOs and IT directors, is your network attached storage infrastructure out of control? Do you have dozens and dozens of NAS appliances that are difficult to administer? Ask the experts at Vion Corporation how Hitachi's high-performance NAS, powered by BlueArc, can consolidate your NAS infrastructure, reduce your number of NAS appliances, and improve your NAS performance. With a 30-year partnership, Vion and Hitachi Data Systems have been bringing you innovative technologies with quality service. Visit Vion.com to learn more. That's Vion.com.
Droopy memory, sagging attention span. Sure signs your brain is getting flabby. Time to get it off its medulla oblongata and make it work. Pick up a crossword puzzle. Learn a new song on the piano. Eat your cereal with a spoon in your other hand. Kaiser Permanente reminds you that anything you do out of your routine challenges your lovely lobes. For better memory, clearer thinking, and sharper focus, spend a few minutes a day with some mental gymnastics. Find a new route to work. Recite the alphabet backwards. Grocery shop starting at the other end of the store. Just 10 minutes of these routine breakers can improve your brain's speed, retention, and memory. Even help prevent Alzheimer's disease. So do for your brain what you do for your body. Get it up off its behind and build some mind muscle. Check out our brain teaser at kp.org/thrive. Kaiser Permanente. Thrive.
Kaiser Foundation Health Plan of the Mid-Atlantic States Incorporated. 2101 East Jefferson Street, Rockville, Maryland, 20852.
Hey there, I'm Christopher Dorbeck. Here's what we're working on for the Dorbeck Insider this afternoon. Ever feel like your best friend is your computer, your laptop, maybe that iPhone or BlackBerry? We're going to talk to a social scientist who says there are leadership lessons from how we treat computers. And what's on the agenda for the Smart Contracting Caucus? We'll talk to one of the members of that group, Congressman Jerry Connolly, this afternoon, 3 to 7 on the Dorbeck Insider. It's right here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com. We're back on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. It's the Federal News Countdown with Tom Shoup and Kim Peretti of PricewaterhouseCoopers. Tom Shoup, of course, of GovExec. And we are counting down the three most important federal news stories of the week as Kim and Tom have chosen them. And we're up to...
Number two!
Second most important news story of the week from Kim Peretti's perspective is headlined... Crooks who stole $600,000 from Catholic diocese said money was for clergy sex abuse victims. Why is this important from the federal government perspective?
This is important because it's highlighting again the sophisticated, nature of our cyber attacks on our financial services sector. It's affecting not only individual consumers who might bank online, but this particular attack we've seen for a good year and a half now, and it's going after small to mid-sized businesses, obtaining their online banking credentials, usually because they click on a link from an email that is sent from the criminals. They have their online banking credentials, and they take off with hundreds of thousands of dollars from their accounts, in some cases bankrupting the small to mid-sized institute or company. And why it's important is this has been going on for quite some time now, and it's really taking a toll on our financial services sector.
It really does speak, Tom, to what we were talking about in the first segment, which is the bad guys in all elements of society are becoming much more sophisticated and much more creative in some cases than the people who are trying to fight them. And so it requires just a continuing redoubling of efforts.
Yeah, it's scary to think about how the federal government in particular can even keep up with this. In fact, I was looking at these, Kim, and I thought, are your ranking of stories, are they designed to progressively freak us out that much more? Because it's pretty frightening stuff.
Yeah. This story says that organized cyber thieves stole more than $600,000 from the Catholic Diocese of Des Moines, Iowa this month. Funds were spirited away with the help of dozens of unwitting co-conspirators hired through work-at-home job scams. So that's another layer of the story. It's not just the bad guys trying to break into the financial network of the diocese itself, at least one of whom of the work-at-home people was told the money was being distributed to victims of the Catholic Church sex abuse scandals. In a statement released last week, the diocese says the fraud occurred between August 13th and 16th. As you said, Kim, the criminals had stolen the diocese online banking credentials. They learned about it on August 17th from their bank. But this is a short period of time, 4 days essentially, to steal over $500,000. That is, as Tom said, it can freak you out pretty easily.
And that's what we've seen in this particular type of attack. Once they get the online banking credentials for a potential victim, it's just one unauthorized, you know, ACH or wire transfer, one after another in a very short period of time. The good news is this type of crime gets detected pretty quickly. Mm-hmm. Either the bank realizes it or the customer sees that the money's been drained from their account. But the bad news is they are able to get a significant amount of money out in a short amount of time.
What happens on the law enforcement end when something like this happens? You get alerted to something like this. This case, this story says the FBI and the Treasury Department found out about this and moved in on this. What happens from that end?
Well, it certainly is important to notify law enforcement because they can begin or link it to an existing investigation. And law enforcement has had existing investigations for this particular type of attack for some time now. So that's important. But it also is important to call in outside consultants and experts who can image your computers and help you find out what exactly happened and so you can be prepared so it won't happen again.
I always wonder when I see these stories, the people who they sort of rope into the scheme, don't they ever at any point say, wow, that's an awful lot of money that somebody's asking me to just transfer via an email message?
Great question. And that's why I chose this particular article, is because that's exactly what happened. This unwitting individual who received a message, monster.com, someone wanted him to do this money transfer. He said, okay. He thought it was for an international finance company. But he saw a large amount of money, $10,000, $20,000 from a Catholic church. But this scheme, these criminals were on top of that and had thought through it and came back very quickly and said it's to be paid out for clergy sex abuse victims. So they had they tapped into your emotional response. And
that has to be some kind of new low in scamming people.
I'm always amazed at the idea that the people, this one seems to be thought out a little bit better than most, but still not all the way to the end because they got caught, obviously. And I'm amazed at what some people think is going to work. I mean, it doesn't pass the smell test, and obviously didn't to this person who let people know what was going on. And I just am always amazed by the criminal mind, in some cases how sophisticated it is, and in some cases how facile it really can be.
Mm-hmm. And they sort of, it sort of depends on, it's all a game of numbers, too, like spamming is, in a game of numbers. How many people, if they get 1% of people to click on those malicious links, mm-hmm. then 1% of a million messages they send out is pretty high.
That's still pretty good return.
And in this case, the person actually transferred the money for them. So it worked. Thankfully the bank had recognized that these transfers looked somewhat suspicious.
Story number two on the Federal News Countdown from Kim Peretti this week is headline, crooks who stole $600,000 from Catholic diocese said money was for clergy sex abuse victims. It is a story from KrebsOnSecurity.com, and you can find it linked up later this afternoon at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth. Kim Peretti of PricewaterhouseCoopers, my guest on the Countdown this week, along with GovExec's Tom Shoup, and we'll hear Tom's story number two when the Federal News Countdown continues on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
NBC News Radio, I'm Marlis Majerus. President Obama has tapped one of Wall Street's toughest critics to oversee the creation of a new Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. NBC's Mike Vaccara says as a special assistant to the president, Elizabeth Warren will dodge Senate confirmation hearings.
It can only last for about a year and a half, but will enable her to perform all the functions she might normally be performing without having to go through that Senate confirmation process.
That relief well BP's been drilling in the Gulf of Mexico has finally intersected with the well which exploded 5 months ago. NBC's Kristen Dahlgren says that means cement and mud is pouring in, completing a permanent seal.
It officials do think they are going to have it done by Saturday, and that is when they will be able to declare this well will no longer ever leak into the Gulf of Mexico.
And an Oregon woman who claims someone threw acid in her face now admits her injuries were self-inflicted. More news at MSNBC.com. I'm Marlis Majerus, NBC News Radio.
New at the Home Depot, save even more with 10% off essentials every day. Just use your Home Depot consumer credit card on household batteries, trash bags, light bulbs, and furnace filters. And spend $100 with your card and get a free hour of truck rental. We're lowering the cost of running your home with 10% off the essentials. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. U.S. only. See store for details.
Actual call to Zappos.com.
Thank you for calling Zappos. How can I help you today?
I have a little problem. I ordered a dress yesterday afternoon, and it showed up this morning.
Okay.
I'm not really emotionally ready for it yet, so I put it in the garage under a tarp.
Totally understand.
So can I send it back?
Yes, you can absolutely send it back. You will have to touch the box, though.
Thank you so much.
Got some shopping to do? Become a Zappos.com VIP and get free overnight shipping on everything for life. Join at Zappos.com/happy.
Tune in September 22nd at 11 a.m. to hear the panel discussion, Dynamic Cybersecurity, Identity-Aware Data Loss Prevention, sponsored by CA Technologies. Hear discussion from industry and government experts about the benefits of identity-aware data loss prevention and how these integrated solutions can help reduce IT risk, automate key security processes, and enhance overall compliance posture. For more information, go to federalnewsradio.com, keyword CA. How do you keep your infrastructure safe without limiting your people and productivity? CA Technologies lets you control every use of every IT asset by everyone who accesses your systems. Can you say yes to new capabilities? Can you enforce defense in detail, not just defense in depth? Can you empower your people while protecting your systems? With CA Technologies, you can. To learn how, visit ca.com/gov/value.
This audio puzzle is brought to you by Quest Government Services. Identify the federal agency problem. The answer? Constant hacking. Every day, thousands of cyber attackers try to access federal networks. With Quest Security Solutions, you can keep the out and your data protected. To learn more about Quest Security Solutions, visit quest.com/federal. That's quest.com/federal.
You're the master and commander. You've got the helm. You rule with one touch in a million places. With Verizon, you control your small business with America's largest push-to-talk coverage area. You touch, you connect, and push the boundaries of push-to-talk.
Now, buy one BlackBerry Bold for only $149.99 after $100 mail-in rebate debit card and get another Bold free. Or get a rugged Samsung Convoy or Motorola Barrage free after $50 mail-in rebate debit card. Plus, for a limited time, the Bold comes with free push-to-talk monthly service.
Dominate the marketplace with massive coverage and group connections to up to 50 people.
Sign up for commanding push-to-talk coverage. Speak with a small business specialist at any Verizon Wireless store. Visit verizonwireless.com/smallbusiness or call 1-800-VZW-4BIZ.
Rule the air. Verizon.
All phones require new two-year activation on a voice plan. BlackBerry requires data pack $29.99 or higher. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com.
Here's Richard Bowe, Information Technology Director at FAA, on the Federal Executive Forum on Building Government's Future Infrastructure, sponsored by Ciena.
I do see a lot of managed services, cloud, outsourcing. I see kind of a convergence between the NAS, the National Airspace, and all the supporting information that supports it, so that the data needed to do air traffic operations is available everywhere on demand by anybody who's authorized to see it.
To listen to the whole program made possible by Trezza Media Group, log on to federalnewsradio.com.
Need help with a federal data center consolidation initiative? Ciena can help you solve your most critical networking challenges. They can ensure you meet the FDCCI guidelines to reduce costs while improving reliability, security, and management. To understand more about driving down storage costs while increasing performance and reducing latency, visit ciena.com/radio. That's ciena.com/radio.
The Federal News Radio Community Spotlight for September is Inova Fairfax Hospital for Children. This is the only children's hospital, level one trauma center, and pediatric intensive care unit in Northern Virginia. Inova provides expert care in more than 30 specialties and a dedicated pediatric emergency room designed to put the youngest of patients at ease. Better health, one person at a time. That's the Inova difference. To learn more, visit federalnewsradio.com. The Community Spotlight is brought to you by Ackerman Security Systems.
We're back on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. It's the Federal News Countdown, and my guest this week, choosing the stories that we're counting down, Kim Peretti, director of PricewaterhouseCoopers' Forensic Technology Solutions Practice, former senior counselor at the DOJ Criminal Division, their Computer Crime and Intellectual Property Section, and Tom Shoup, editor-in-chief of Government Executive and Magazine and GovExec.com. And Tom, your story number two on the countdown this week is a piece by Emily Long from your publication. The headline is Hiring Reform Makes Headway. OPM Director John Barry talking to the Chief Human Capital Officers Council about the progress that he's making. And this is issue number one through number 10 on his agenda, it seems like, is changing the way this is done.
Yeah, this is his key part of the administration's overall management improvement initiative is to reform this hiring process, because they view attracting talent as a big, big part of what they want to do. And mm-hmm. he came out this week and said we're on track. He had, of course, back in May said we want a new system in place. We want it by November 1st for you to have made a lot of progress on it, to cut the hiring process down to 80 days, to go to a more resume-based system, at least in the initial stages, and do away with the knowledge, skills, and ability statements, which have been the bane of the hiring process for quite some time.
Well, created a cottage industry. I mean, it's almost impossible to do it on your own and submit it in a format that it's easy for the hiring managers to process.
Right. And not only that, in many, many agencies, a big part of it, I mean, these things are read by computers.
Mm-hmm.
So there's also a cottage industry in figuring out how to get the keywords right so that you can get past that first stage. Because if you don't do that right, you're not even going to get any kind of serious consideration at all.
Yeah. Finding the people, though, is going to be critical, I think, because and I applaud what Director Barry's trying to do as far as streamline the hiring process. There's never been, I've never heard of one person in all the time I've been covering the federal government who stood up and said, this is a great way to do it. We should keep doing it exactly the way we're doing it and not right. change anything. So that makes a lot of sense. The problem, though, Kim, and you can speak to this, I imagine, from a cybersecurity perspective, is finding the people who are qualified to do the job. It's one thing for somebody to want to come to work for the federal government. There's no problem finding those people. But to find the people who are really qualified to take these very critical positions, cybersecurity is one area.
Yeah, yeah. Cybersecurity is one area, not only for the public sector, but the private sector. It's very difficult. There's a huge demand for forensic talent and people who understand technical areas such as cybercrime and cybersecurity.
Mm-hmm. I imagine that because of the way that the private sector is able to move, the way that they're able to process these kinds of things. Director Barry's talking in the story, and we'll talk about this with Chris Dorabek on the Dorabek Insider this afternoon between 3 and 7 about shrinking the hiring time to 80 days. Now, every private sector hiring officer I've ever talked to says 80 days. They laugh at that. I mean, the idea of it taking that long to bring somebody in is paralyzing to a private sector company.
Yes. I mean, when you need help, you need help. Mm-hmm. And if you're not set up to be able to bring in help immediately, then you can lose opportunities pretty quickly.
Yeah, it's a noble goal, I think, Tom, because of how long it is now. It's certainly
right.
a great idea to shoot for that and then keep working to shrink it.
Right, but to think that it's a lot of work to get to there, and there is not exactly a great place for an agency to be, to
yeah.
be competitive for talent. That's a very tough thing. And it's as agencies go to try to shrink this down, we looked at some of the individual reports that agencies filed on how they're making progress, and certainly they are making progress, but there's some pretty key things out there.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, you get rid of the KSAs, and they say that's fine, but we'd be interested in having you tell us exactly how you'd like us to assess people then, and that's really kind of an open question. And
yeah.
OPM hasn't yet given full guidance on exactly how they want people assessed. And, you know, another thing is people sometimes forget these agencies are very, very large operations. You know, the VA says we have to train 3,800 people in HR on how to use these new approaches.
Mm-hmm.
That's, I mean, even the biggest private sector companies, most of them don't have that kind of scale of issue to deal with.
And that becomes a best practices issue, because where do you go to try to figure out how to do that and the mass quantities of hirings? Jeff Neils talked about trying to bring 8,800 cybersecurity professionals into DHS. Where do you find them and how do you get them in there? And then if there are these reforms on top of it,
right,
how do you do the hiring within the context of bringing all of those people in through this new and different system.
Right. While you're changing the wheels on that car while it's going down the highway at 60 miles an hour. It's not easy.
Tom Shoup's story number two on the Federal News Countdown is from GovExec. Emily Long's story headline, Hiring Reform Makes Headway. And we'll post them up later this afternoon at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth. On the Federal News Countdown, we get to story number one from Tom Shoup of GovExec and Kim Peretti of PricewaterhouseCoopers when we continue.
If you can't communicate effectively, you can't get the job done. That's why government agencies turn to Avaya Government Solutions and Black Box. Unified communication solutions from Avaya and Black Box increase employee productivity, improve customer service, and cut costs by integrating multiple forms of communications across multi-vendor networks. Faster, more efficient, at a lower cost. The future of unified communications has arrived. Learn more at avayagov.com/GSA2010.
Today's Emergency Preparedness Series is brought to you by the D.C. Homeland Security and Emergency Management Agency.
Police say one reason no employees at the Discovery Channel were hurt when a gunman took hostages is because the office building had a disaster plan. Employees knew what to do, where to go, and how to get information. Now's the time to ask if your office building is that well prepared. One thing to ask, do your local police and fire departments have access to the floor plans of your office building? The answer could save your life. I'm Mark Seagraves.
Did you know that floods are the number one natural disaster in America? The D.C. Homeland Security and Emergency Management Agency wants to help you prepare now for the flood risks that come with hurricanes, tropical storms, and other severe summer weather. Learn the difference between a flood watch and a flood warning. Gather supplies for your storm kit and create a family emergency plan. To learn more about preparing for floods, including information on flood insurance, visit 72hours.dc.gov. Be ready, D.C.
The Federal Drive is every weekday from 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Federal News Radio 1500 a.m. Hear interviews, news, perspective, and analysis from Tom Temin and Amy Morris. The Federal Drive team will help give you the important information you need about the federal government and how it impacts your organization or agency. Tune in 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. or go to federalnewsradio.com. The Federal Drive is sponsored by CDWG. The right technology, right away.
Have you delayed putting together an estate plan? Your retirement savings, insurance policies, and real estate are all part of your assets. If you or your partner should ever become incapacitated, who will handle the financial or medical decisions? And how do you want those assets distributed? Hi, I'm Wayne Zell of Zell Law and host of Blueprint for Wealth Saturdays at 10 a.m. Find out how you can better secure your future this Saturday or call me at Zell Law at 571-203-9355 or visit us on the web at zelllaw.com.
Which agency has the best overall location? The nominations are in as part of Federal News Radio's Best of the Federal Government series, and now it's your turn to vote. Will it be the Department of Agriculture, the Department of Energy's Golden Field Office, the National Park Service, the Naval Postgraduate School, or the Veterans Affairs New York Harbor Healthcare System? Vote now at federalnewsradio.com. Search for Best Of. Vote as many times as you'd like. Voting closes Friday, September 17th.
We're back on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. It's the Federal News Countdown. Each week, two experts in the federal government and the business of working with the federal government choose three news stories that they think are most important from this week in the realm of the federal government. And they rank them in order from number three to number one. Then we count them down on the Federal News Countdown. This week, my guests are Tom Shoup, Editor-in-Chief of Government Executive and GovExec.com, and Kim Peretti, Director in PricewaterhouseCoopers' Forensic Technology Solutions Practice and a former Justice Department official. And we're up to
number one.
The most important news story of the week, as selected by Kim Peretti, is headlined, Authorities Arrest 53 Bank Fraud Suspects in New Jersey. And as you said, this fits with your theme of very difficult, very complex, and very creative people who are doing bad stuff, and the ways that the government has to think like the bad guys to try to crack these cases.
Yes, it does. And this one is not cyber related, but it's really the most dangerous type of identity theft. And a lot of the cyber cases we see, criminals out there stealing credit card numbers, but the victims in those cases often get reimbursed for the losses. But in this case, this is taking over the identities of individuals. Now, in this case, they didn't commit crimes using those identities. I mean, they were committing crime, but not going out and doing a crime using that identity. But had that happened, you could have had people arrested for crimes they didn't commit. And that's a serious type of identity theft.
And the wild card in this is the language barrier, too. This story says federal authorities in New Jersey say they've broken up a large-scale identity theft and fraud ring that stretches from the insular Korean enclaves of northern New Jersey to U.S. territories in the Pacific. 53 people, many of them Korean immigrants living in New York and New Jersey, are charged with helping people fraudulently obtain credit cards, bank accounts, and loans using illegally obtained Social Security numbers, and to try to dig into these communities where there is that language and cultural barrier, I imagine, makes the case. It just adds another dimension of complexity to it.
Yes, and they were actually advertising in Korean newspapers about being able to get or needing identity documents or being able to provide identity documents. So absolutely, when you throw in the language barrier, it really adds to the complexity of the investigation.
Tom, the whole identity theft and fraud element of this, it's not just limited to operations here. This story says the FBI was included in this investigation, U.S. Attorney's Office, but every single agency is working on this identity issue, primarily because of improper payments. Danny Werfel talking about it this week, and the whole issue of improper payments, are the people who are getting benefits from the government really the people that they say they are? This is a challenge for just about every agency.
Yeah, I mean, of course, there are billions and billions of dollars in these kind of payments every year that the administration's trying to, and Congress is trying to crack down on. But it, you know, it's very difficult when, you know, the level of sophistication in terms of being able to manipulate the system is like it is in these kind of cases. There's just so many incentives out there to do it, and so many different ways that people can fraudulently obtain people's information.
And I think the interesting part is how far they got by just stealing Social Security numbers. That's all they stole in this case, is people's Social Security numbers. And from that, they took those Social Security numbers and the names attached to them and sort of linked on to other people's credit cards accounts so they could increase the credit mm-hmm. on those original identities. And then once the credit scores went high enough, then they started opening bank accounts up, opening credit card accounts, lines of credit. So really just stealing a Social Security number allows you to commit the type of crime that they did.
This is really, I guess it's kind of a good thing that I don't think in this way, because I read some of these stories, and you must have seen a million of these at the Justice Department. But the question I usually ask is, how did you ever think of that in the first place to do it that way? The way this one worked, they bought Social Security numbers from brokers who got them from Asian immigrants, mostly Chinese nationals, working in territories like Guam, American Samoa, Saipan. Then they resold those Social Security cards to Korean immigrants in the United States who use them to apply for driver's licenses, and it lists its number of states here where it's easier to obtain driver's licenses than others. Several of the defendants then used their identifications to apply for credit cards, and then they were able to buy a bunch of junk with the credit cards that
so
they obtained.
The original people, did they voluntarily sell their information to these brokers?
No, and that's where the information, that's where, you know, it didn't say specifically how they got the Social Security numbers, but, you know, thankfully we have laws in place to protect Social Security numbers, but only recently. Social Security numbers are an easy commodity to obtain in the United States because of the pervasiveness that we were used to have been asked for them. They used to be on our driver's licenses.
I used to get IDs for everything.
I used to carry my card around in my wallet till 3 or 4 years ago. I mean, everywhere I went, I had it. So anybody that lifted my wallet could have.
who would do that?
Tom's checking his wallet right now. Yeah, I would advise against that, and I imagine that
I'm going to leave mine at home.
Kim probably would recommend against that too. Long term, what is the there has to be, what is the strategy to try to stay one step ahead of these people and not be surprised like I am when you hear these stories about how these people are going about doing these things?
Well, two things. The important part is in the private sector protecting this information. And we have a number of laws, regulations, enforcement actions designed to encourage companies to really protect this type of information and make it harder to steal. So that's the harder to steal part. And then the other part is to continually investigate these individuals and have dedicated law enforcement resources, which we have had in our, you know, in the cybercrime area. In each U.S. attorney's office, we have cybercrime prosecutors, and each law enforcement agency has had some dedicated group of individuals. Both components are very, very much in need in this particular area.
Kim Peretti's story number one on the Federal News Countdown this week is an Associated Press story headlined "Authorities Arrest 53 Bank Fraud Suspects in New Jersey." And you can find out more about it at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth later this afternoon. We have one story left, Tom Shoup's number one story of the week, and we'll hear it when we come back on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. It's the Federal News Countdown.
The Human Capital Solutions Report, provided by Aon Consulting.
What separates the best agencies from the rest is leadership. Successful agencies proactively identify, assess, develop, and retain leadership talent. Through Aon's leadership assessment and development programs, senior executives usually improve within 8 months, increasing leadership ratings by nearly 20%. Aon pinpoints specific attributes leaders need, and with assessments, role plays, and coaching, provides immediate feedback needed to grow.
Aon Consulting partners with leading employers worldwide to turn strategies into success. With its vast federal and commercial experience, Aon Consulting provides solutions and best practices to help your agency be more efficient, improve delivery, and achieve its goals. With new leadership and new missions, federal agencies need support now more than ever. By engaging its national network of unmatched talent, innovation, and operational excellence, Aon Consulting delivers distinct value to its clients.
To learn more, visit aonfederal.com. That's aonfederal.com.
The Internet. It's indispensable. Without it, how else would we perform crucial functions like shoe shopping, watching videos of a cat playing the piano, emailing inspirational anecdotes to our 1,000 closest friends? But despite these awesome utilizations of information technology, at Kaiser Permanente, we've found some better uses. Like being able to securely manage your own health online 24/7, emailing your doctor's office, checking most test results, reviewing meds, making routine appointments. Not to mention a vital digital connection between you, your doctor, and everyone on your team. Could it be that making total health smarter, more efficient, and more convenient is the very sort of thing for which the Internet was intended? Maybe, but that doesn't mean you shouldn't fit in a cat video now and then. We're Kaiser Permanente, and we want you to live well, laugh well, and thrive. Learn more at kp.org/thrive.
Kaiser Foundation Health Plan of the Mid-Atlantic States Incorporated, 2101 East Jefferson Street, Rockville, Maryland, 20852.
Things just don't happen. You need a plan. A federal career can last 30 years or more, and so can federal retirement. Tune in each Monday at 10 a.m. to get the information you need to plan your course for financial security, solid benefits, and optimum health care. 100% focused on the federal employee for your benefit. Presented by NITP has the answers to your mid-career and retirement planning questions. Listen to For Your Benefit Mondays at 10 a.m. on 1500 AM Federal News Radio for an hour that can change your future.
You run the kids to the bus in the morning, run errands in the afternoon, run out for dinner, then run to music lessons. Let's face it, your schedule has your family running wild. It's time for some healthy running. The Marine Corps Marathon invites you to register your 6 to 13-year-old for the Healthy Kids Fun Run on Saturday, October 30th at the Pentagon. It's a one-mile, confidence-building fun run where every participant proudly walks away with a medal. The fun includes a family fitness festival, mascots, entertainment, and more. Visit MarineMarathon.com.
Thanks for listening to In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. It's the Federal News Countdown. And my guests on the countdown this week, Kim Peretti of PricewaterhouseCoopers, formerly a Justice Department counselor, and Tom Shoup, editor-in-chief of GovExec. And Tom, your number one story of the week is the story that I would have chosen on my own personal Federal News Countdown. Would it be sad to say that I do my own Federal News Countdown at my house? Would that be kind of weird?
On the air, I'll say no.
Okay.
Nothing sad about that at all.
I won't mention it on the air then in case we would get uncomfortable about that. Your number one story of the week is GovExec story by Catherine McIntyre Peters. The headline is New Rules Aim to Rein in Defense Spending. We heard Secretary Gates and Undersecretary Carter on In Depth on Tuesday with live coverage of this news conference that has really made ripples throughout the entire government sector and throughout the industry that deals not just with DOD, but with the rest of the federal government. Everybody's paying attention to what's happening at the Pentagon.
Yeah, there's no question about it. They're taking a very aggressive, in-depth approach to this issue. And this is, you know, earlier this year, Defense Secretary Gates said, we are going to be serious about trying to identify $100 billion in overhead savings from our operations. And this is one of their key ways of going about it, is this 23-point plan for improving the acquisition process. I have to say, as a taxpayer, to hear them say that they're going to design affordability in from the beginning of the process, I guess I'm glad to see that that's occurred to them as something that you might want to do from the get-go. But yeah, that's a key element of it there too.
The point person for this effort by Secretary Gates has been not the secretary himself, but has been Ashton Carter, the Undersecretary of Defense for Acquisition Technology and Logistics. Kim, what do you think that says about Secretary Gates' leadership style, that he's willing to step back and say, I'm going to let Ash Carter, and in some cases, I'm going to let Bill Lynn, I'm going to let my number two guys, my top deputies, really do the heavy lifting here.
It sounds like he's pretty comfortable and confident in the people that he's hired, and that's in my opinion, that's a great sign, because that makes processes function much, much better if you can have confidence in the people that you've hired.
And I think that also says they will be here after I'm gone. I mean, Secretary Gates has made no secret of the fact that he doesn't intend to be in Washington forever. I appreciated your collection of the collection you have on your blog, Tom, of quotes that the secretary's made about not really being a big fan of being in Washington.
Yeah, he's definitely not a Washington fan, no question about it. And I think that's one of his key challenges. And this whole thing is, having said that, and it was sort of curious the way he said, I want to cut $100 billion out of the budget, and by the way, I'm going to be leaving. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's, in a sense, you then have to overcome the fact that people are going to say, well, if we just wait you out on this one, that'll be okay. So he was then very quick to have a spokesman come out and say, well, he may or may not actually go. He has a history of not going when he says he's going to leave. So I think he does have every incentive to say, This is a serious, lasting thing. It's not just about me. This is, you know, something we're going to be very serious about.
Ashton Carter's predecessor as Undersecretary of Defense for ATL was John Young, and John will be my guest on In Depth with Francis Rose on Tuesday at 1 o'clock to talk about this effort and some writing that he's done about what Secretary Gates is trying to do. And you can hear that online as well at federalnewsradio.com on Tuesday at 1 o'clock. There is just so much here for, as I said, everybody's talking about this because this administration has indicated that it wants to try things at one agency and then replicate them at other agencies. What we're seeing in IT with the TxDOT sessions that Vivek Kundra is conducting, they're very similar to what Roger Baker started at VA, and that's kind of being what the effort that Roger made there is kind of being replicated at all the other agencies once they got a chance to see, does this work? How do we refine it? And so on. So there are a lot of people who are talking about the idea that this is what every agency is going to be undertaking within the next couple of years.
Particularly, I think, on the services end, where Carter came out very directly and said, we don't even know how to describe services correctly. He had there was a great quote where he said, it's like, on the weapons side, it's like trying to buy weapons and never distinguishing between planes, ships, and tanks. That's the situation they're in with services, where there's not really, they call it a common taxonomy of how you describe the what services you're looking for. And that's the kind of thing. I mean, every agency now is involved in procuring lots and lots of services. I mean, of the $400 billion the Defense Department spends, half of it is services. So that's going to be a very big deal for them to come up with some common language there. And we had sort of a Bob Bruin of our sister site NextGov had a follow-up story on that, about how Naval Sea Systems Command has really sort of led the way in trying to do that and setting up standard contract specifications for services. So, for instance, when they were hiring lawn mowing services, they didn't have a different description of what they wanted on the West Coast and what they wanted on the East Coast, because it's the same thing.
And so many of these things, Kim, turn into a right hand doesn't know what the left hand is doing. Those lawnmower services is a good example of that. I can't imagine there are too many variables when it comes to making sure the grass is cut, and yet some of these agencies have figured out ways to make these things a lot more complicated than they really need to be, it seems. As we go through this and see what is happening at DOD and see how it replicates to the other agencies, what do you think we should be looking for, you know, 6 months, a year out, Tom?
I think 6 months, you're probably not going to see a ton of progress yet, because I think there's a great deal of work still to be done. But I think what we ought to be looking for is how aggressively they continue to pursue milestones on this effort. And they've been pretty aggressive about it. So I think that there's no question they see the opportunity for very large savings here. And not only that, but one of the key things about the Gates Initiative is, you know, it's not saving money really just to save money, which tends to lose steam over time. It really is, let's save this money so we can spend it on our future needs, so that we don't have to go running to Congress all the time. Let's show them that we've saved money. Now, Congress may well turn around and say, thank you very much for the savings, and we'll talk later about your priorities. But still, it's a more likely to succeed.
Tom Shoup's story number one in the Federal News Countdown this week is headlined, New Rules Aim to Rein in Defense Spending, a GovExec story by Catherine McIntyre Peters. Thanks to both of you for a terrific Federal News Countdown this week. Kim Peretti of PricewaterhouseCoopers, Tom Shoup of GovExec. Great to have both of you in the studio. Our conversation today will be archived online at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth, and the news stories will be posted there as well, so you can read up on the ones that you don't know as much about as you'd like. No Federal News Countdown this week or next week, because I'm going to the NASCAR race in Dover, so I will be missing the countdown. Dorbeck Insider is up next from 3 to 7 on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.